Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3 and verses 13 through 14. Philippians 3, 13 through 14. The Bible says this, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 13, let's start there. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice here the phrase, the high calling of God. And I want to speak about that tonight on the subject of called to God, gifted to serve. Called to God and gifted to serve. I think this is a little bit of a subject that some things have been repeated about over and over and over again so many times in our hearing that we have a little bit off the mark of what the calling of God is. And I hope that this is going to be a help to all of you so that all of you will maybe kind of perk up your ears and listen for the call of God. I don't care if you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. I believe God calls a people. And we're called of God so we can be gifted to serve. And I want to speak on that for a little while tonight. We're called to God, gifted to serve. The very important truth in verse 13 is you got to get over your past. There's some day where you got to walk away from it. And you got to quit being a prisoner to your past, and you got to quit saying, you know, this is just the way I am, and this is, you know, my parents, and this, that, and my broken family, and I was on dope, and I did this, and I was a drug addict, and I was a sinner. Someday, you got to get over your past. You weren't herding Christians into the Colosseum like Paul was, were you? Any of you got that on your record? You weren't going around gathering up men and women and boys and girls and taking them down to the Colosseum in Rome so they could be eaten by lions while others of them were put and impaled on poles and pitched with tar and set on fire to light up the Colosseum while other Christians Paul brought there were being devoured by lions. Any of you got that in your past? All right, then maybe God can use us. Maybe God can use us. Did you know Paul said, I am the chief of sinners? You know he said that? I think God used Paul. But there came a day where he had to turn his back on his past. He had to forget those things that were behind. And some of you who think you're disqualified are not disqualified. You would not believe the second chances God gives to people. You need to get over your past and what you did. If I told you some of the things that I have done in my past, you would probably say you're disqualified to be a pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm doing what God has called me and gifted me to do. All right? I didn't herd people into the Roman Colosseum. I didn't break up marriages. I didn't take little boys and girls and throw them and let lions eat them. Paul did. But there's got to be a time where you get over your past. And forgetting those things that are behind, he said, I press towards the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. This word press means to run swiftly in order to catch a person or a thing. If you're trying to catch a person, you have to run swiftly. You have to run faster than them. He said, I press. He says, I am an all-out sprint trying to find this thing called the calling of God. The word toward means in the direction of. The word mark means the bullseye, the distant mark that is looked at, the goal that is in the end of one's view in a race. It's the man at the beginning of the 100-yard dash or 100 meters seeing that, well, we used to have a tape in our day when we used to run, but it would be 100 yards down. And the goal was to go from point A to that tape as fast as you possibly can. In fact, we were taught to run as fast as you can 10 yards past it so you wouldn't even be tempted to slow down near it. I press towards the mark, the bullseye, the highest goal. What is it? The prize. And what does the word prize mean? The word prize means an award that is given to the victor in the games, to that person who is in first place. Do you know when you win in this life? When you answer God's call. When you answer God's call, that's when you win. You win the prize. He said, I press towards the mark of the prize of what? The high calling of God. He says, that is my highest aim in my life, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Matthew 22:14, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. That word chosen means become the elite, become the preeminent, those that excel. He says there are many who are called, but few who ever rise up to the calling. Whoever become the chosen in the calling, whoever fulfill the calling, whoever excel in the calling. Many are called, but very few ever excel in the calling that God has called them unto. God's calling is not only to men. It is also to women. It is to youth. It is to boys and girls. In fact, it is not unusual that many boys and many girls hear God calling them in a specific way. Samuel! Samuel! And Eli finally said to Samuel, the next time you hear that, say, what is it, Lord? God calls children. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't God want an entire life out of somebody? Why would God just want fragments from us? Why wouldn't God want the youngest boy possible in this church? Why wouldn't God want the youngest girl possible in this church so they can give their whole life to him rather than just a little fragment at the end? There are no callings in the Bible. There's a calling, one. You get your concordance out, and the word callings is not found in the Bible. It's always in the singular. Man, don't miss that calling. We have this thing in our day and age, in our country here, called caller ID. And we screen our calls to decide who we want to talk to and who we don't want to talk to. Amen. I mean, a lot of times you get, you know, charities and people looking for money and so on and so forth, and they come up on there and you say, I'll let the answering machine get it. There's wackos out there. You know, one lady called me here 14 times. I think it was the record. It's usually around 8 or 9 times a week, but one week she did 14. And she's just, dear lady, got a lot of mental problems. Don't come to this church, but it's way up in Williamsville somewhere. But she's got a lot of mental problems and stuff. Feels bad for her, but I can't help her. And I told her, if God doesn't help you, I sure can't. No sense calling me 14 times a day. But we have this caller ID. Now, I want to encourage you tonight. You get the picture. Don't caller ID God. You boys and girls, if God's calling you, you teens, if God's calling you, don't give them the caller ID and say, I'll answer later. You may get one call. You may get one call. I know young men in this church now in their 20s and 30s who just as real as my calling was, went to youth camp with Pastor Seth, went to teen tri-state rallies, went to youth conferences, and so on and so forth. And in their teen years, they got one call from God. One. And they didn't do anything with it. They didn't do anything with it. You know, there's some times where I think God just turns to somebody else and says, I'll ask someone else to do it. I have that nature about me. I'm not like God, but there's times where I, as a pastor, will ask somebody to do something around here. I'll say, I can't do that or anything. So, you know, from that moment on, in my heart as a leader, I hesitate to ever ask that person to ask to do anything else. There's some times where I'll ask somebody to do something one time, and they just dismiss it, and I'll just go to somebody else, ask them to do it. If this is the prize, brethren, don't miss the prize. The prize is to be called of God. Now, we're not talking about salvation today. Everybody's called to salvation. We're talking about a calling from God after you're saved to do something very, very special for Him the rest of your life. I want you to notice three things about this calling, and then I want to illustrate how it works. Number one, it's a high calling. Number one, it's a high calling. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. There's nothing higher than when God calls you. On your phone, so to speak, and says, I have got something for you to do. You will get no higher calling in all of your life. It is a high calling. In government, in our government, America, we have a president. This president has the power to call people to a very, very high calling. A recent example, our current president, President Obama, called a senator from New York to be his Secretary of State. And Senator Hillary Clinton took that call as a high calling. She's not one of 100 senators in Washington anymore. She is the only Secretary of State we have in our country. And she goes to every single country in this world and represents you, and represents me, and represents her president. See, that's a high calling. That's very, very honorable for that to happen to somebody. Joseph Biden was called by this man to be his vice president. Bill Gates was called to be his Secretary of State, and others were called and called, and they received a phone call. And if they would have said no, he would have called someone else. And their opportunity for something very, very high in their life would have been over. God's calling is a high calling. There is nothing higher than what God calls you to do. Do not trifle with the calling of God. Do not look at the caller ID. If you're a little boy or a little girl or a teenager and He calls you, answer that call. You may not hear it again. And miss the prize of your life. Number two, it's a heavenly calling. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. I tried to already point this out, all right. It's a heavenly call. It's a call from heaven. It's a call from heaven. Now, God may use the human voice of a pastor to make that call to you. He may use the human voice of an evangelist at a youth rally or a youth camp to make that call to you. He may use the voice of a missionary passing through to make that call to you. But it's a heavenly calling. It doesn't come from the White House, which would be such an honor to serve a president of the United States. It comes from heaven. Now the thing is, we must have our ears tuned to realize that God may make that calling through an evangelist's message, a preacher's message, a Sunday school teacher's lesson, a children's church lesson, a missionary passing through, a preacher on the radio or something. For me, it was a preacher I'd never heard of in my life. His name was Stephen Olford. The date was March 1979. The place was the Calvary Independent Baptist Church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. My position at that time was I had been saved for about 9 years and currently had been a backslidden carnal believer for 3 years. And I believe that day when I just happened to go to a missions conference where my brother George was attending Bible college, I believe that one day God rang my bell and called my name, and that one day he gave me a chance to answer that call in my life through Stephen Olford's message. It was a heavenly calling. Stephen Olford was the human voice God used. But through Stephen Olford, God spoke through him and said, Art, this is it. I'm giving you one call. What are you going to do with it? And I surrendered my life that night to God. The calling is to God. The calling is to God. It is a heavenly calling. God in heaven calls people on earth to do a particular job. Just like a president calls people and says, could you be my Secretary of State? Could you be the Secretary of the Treasury? Could you be the Secretary of Defense? Could you be the Secretary of Human Resources? And many of these people get one call to a high calling from the president. But we're talking about a heavenly calling here. Man, I wouldn't trifle with that thing if I were you. It's a heavenly calling. And then notice, third of all, it's a holy calling. Turn to 2 Timothy in chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9 says this, who hath saved us and called us to, and or called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. He didn't say, according to my works. This isn't talking about salvation here. This is talking about what He wants us to do. We're not saved by our works, but we're called us with an holy calling. Holy calling. It is a high calling. It is a heavenly calling. And then it is a holy calling. That word holy means something that is sanctified, something that is set apart. When God calls you, it is something you are to be set apart to for the rest of your life. The calling is to God. Now, some of you heard a message from pastor school Thursday night. I didn't hear that. I was the only one, or it was the only one I missed. But Pastor Seth was trying to fill me in on the details of the message about how we need to crave God and how we don't receive a call to preach. We receive a call unto God. And, you know, as Pastor Seth was explaining that to me, it was kind of sinking in and saying, that's right. You ever have somebody tell you something and you always believed it in all your life, but until somebody said it verbally, it just didn't make sense. And then somebody said it, and when he was saying that to me that day, I said, that's right. That's something I think we're missing today in the church, is we don't understand the call. See, what we hear all the time, and you're going to hear it another 1,000 times if you live long, is that I was called to preach, 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 and this preacher's going to say, I was called to preach, and this missionary, I was called to preach, and I was called to preach, and I was called to preach. Now, I'm not trying to split hairs, but what I'm saying tonight is the way God really works is this. We're called to God and then gifted to preach. We're called to God and then gifted to preach. And I'm glad Pastor Seth shared that with me. But when that happens, when you are called to God, every one of us in this room, I believe, God comes along sometime, rings our number and says, I want you, boys, girls, men, women, adults, senior citizens. I want you. I'm calling you. And the calling is to me. It's not to what you can do. The calling is to me, and then I can do anything I want with you. The calling is to God. And as I look back over the years, it finally made sense to me. You know that day, March 1979, down in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, when I surrendered my life to the Lord, I came back from that saying, I think God's called me to be a missionary. I didn't know what I was saying. But as I look back at it, what really happened that day was God called me to Himself. I was called to God. Called to God. And then God could do anything He wanted with me after that. And that's the same thing with you. God wants to call you to Himself first, not to what you can do for Him. He wants to call you to Himself first. And it's a high calling. It's a heavenly calling. And it's a holy calling. It's something that when we mean holy here, we mean it's something that you are to be set apart to for the rest of your life. I am set apart to God for the rest of my life. Then after that happens, after you're called to God, then He gifts you to service. And He begins to qualify you. I got a friend just called me this week. Just became a pastor this week. His name is Jim Donath. Some of you know him. Talked on the phone for a while. That man has been serving God as long as I have been. We just grew up around this area together, serving the Lord. I remember when he had the house in Lackawanna, we had the Bible Institute back there. And I was just barely even getting started as a pastor. You see, back then, I noticed something about Jim Donath, is that he was as called to God as I was. I noticed that about him. But he was gifted differently than I was gifted. He was gifted in a ministry of helps and service, ministering. And so he became a bus driver in his church. He learned how to sing songs. He learned how to play the guitar, sing, beautiful music. If you ever heard his wife and kids sing together, beautiful music. He started working in children's churches, Sunday school classes. I've been with him a dozen times in prisons, seeing him sing and preach to prisoners. And he I believe he was as called to God back then as I was. And God just gifted him and gifted me differently. And in his case, as he has been just as faithful to his call to God as I have been, through a series of events, he ended up being a missionary, trying to help struggling churches, and one of those churches just happened to be in Buffalo. And they asked him this week to be their pastor. He's older than I am. He's just starting to be a pastor. Good. Amen. We need that. But you know something? I think we do the body of Christ a disservice when we keep saying, called to preach, 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 because then most other people think, every lady in the church thinks, oh, God, I don't have to listen for anything. And we really do our girls a disservice and our boys a disservice, because God is calling them unto him as much as he ever called me unto him. I'll turn to Romans chapter 12, and then I just want to illustrate this, and I hope, man, I've been praying all afternoon that God will help this make sense to you. I just want to try to show you how this works. And maybe God will give you another call. In Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, we have seven ministry gifts of the Holy Ghost. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Notice there are seven ministry gifts here, given by the Holy Ghost of God. Seven ministry gifts. I want to encourage you to realize that God has some kind of a gift for you. In the book of Romans, and look at just a couple of verses before this, 11, verse 29. 11, 29. For the gifts, plural, and calling, singular, of God are without repentance. There's one calling, brethren, there's many gifts. But all of us have one gift that we are called to, God, so we can be gifted to that service. Out of these seven, in this text, every single person in this room, without exception, if you will answer God's call on your life, call to God, he will then gift you to one of these areas of service, at least one of these areas. And that will be as holy of a calling in your life than I have as a pastor. But we have a spirit in our churches now that the pastor is called of God. Every one of us is called of God. And when you find out, or when you answer God's call to himself, that he begins to gift you for service, and that calling to God, and that gift to service, is as high of a calling, as heavenly of a calling, and as holy of a calling as what I have. I don't care if it means washing dishes in the kitchen every time the dishes need to be washed. You should esteem that as holy as what I do. Now, I've written those down here. I put them in a little bit of modern day language. Don't kill me for that. It says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. The word prophecy means to foretell the word of God. Some are gifted by God to be preachers. But as I said earlier in the message, usually in the church, the spirit of the church right here is, this is where God's calling ends. And we hear flaming evangelists and preachers and missionaries saying, we need men called to preach. We need young men to surrender to preach. Surrender to preach. Call to preach. Surrender to preach. Surrender to preach. Surrender to preach. And we do. But the calling's to God. The gifting is to preaching. And usually it ends right there. And we wonder why our churches are short on workers. Because nobody else feels called to God in anything. But there's six more. And God has given these gifts to us according to His grace. That word grace means enablement. God can enable you when He shows you His gift. God can enable you and qualify you to use that gift for the rest of your life. As much as I've tried to be faithful in my gift, and that is as high of a calling, as heavenly of a calling, and as holy of a calling as it is for me to be a preacher. What God has you to do. What's the next one? It says, or he that ministers on his ministry. What does that mean? Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. All that word means, minister, is to serve. To be a servant. Church needs to have servants. See, God's going to call some of you to Himself. And some of you need to answer that call and say, here I am, Lord. What would you have me to do? And He's going to say, I want you to be a servant. I'm going to gift you by my grace to be a servant. Okay, how does that work? Well, when the carpets need to be cleaned at the church, you show up. And you consider that as holy of a calling as what the pastor has on his life. And I believe that's as high, as heavenly, and as holy as my calling. You know, that we got this fellow in our church. Some of you know Brother John Bodick. I can ask that guy to do anything. I really can't. He's such a quiet guy. Most of you don't even know what I'm talking about. I can say, we need help in the kitchen. Can you help Kelly next week in the kitchen? Yeah, no problem. We got to wash the parking lot down. He was here washing the parking lot down. John, I got to get somebody to get a pump. We got a whole bunch of water down in this parking lot we just dug out last year. We got to get this water pumped out before we can lay this tile. Yeah, I'll go over and get a pump. Dropped everything you've done, got a pump over here. Started to pump the mud out. Remember that day, Pastor? All right. We called Brother John. We need the windows washed. No problem. Most of you don't even know that about him. I don't know if he's answered God's call in his life, but whatever the service is, I can see that it's a sanctified thing in him. It's a holy calling. Whatever it might be. He was dusting the legs on all these chairs yesterday. And some of you were helping him, but he was here all day. He's dusting these big legs. I don't know why. We just get dust on them. He stacked every one of these chairs, put them in stack, cleared this whole thing out yesterday, all the hymn books and everything, so he could wash the carpets in here. Church needs people like that. God needs people that will cook dinners for the seniors this Thursday and cook dinners for the men this Saturday morning. Why, that ministry is important. That seniors ministry is important. Those men are important. Some of those men, it's one of the highlights of their month, the whole month, to bring dad and the boys down for breakfast. But we couldn't pull that off if somebody who's not called to God is then gifted by God to be a minister. Just says, where can I serve? Where can I serve? The next one is teacher. He that teacheth on teaching. Some people need to answer God's call. And God's call is to Himself and says, God, here I am. I don't know what you can use me for. And God then says to you, okay, you've given yourself to me. I'm going to now gift you to teach. That doesn't mean you're a good teacher. But that means God wants to gift you and grace you to be a teacher. And we need teachers. Every church needs teachers. We need teachers for every age group imaginable. You know, we need some teachers. Brother Mike's been talking to me. We need some teachers that can help these drug addicts all around here. Man, I can't do that, brother. We got them all over these areas. Alcoholics. People with really deep emotional problems. We need some people to know how to handle those. We need people that can teach two-year-olds. 4-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, boys, girls, teens, adults, senior citizens. But first, we got to have people who will answer God's call to Himself. And then God can say, okay, you've given yourself to me, and I'm going to gift you to be a teacher. And again, that doesn't mean you're a good teacher. You may have to work hard the rest of your life making any sense at all. I've met a bunch of educated people that can't say a thing. I mean it. I've met people with degrees that can't communicate 2 sentences into their presentation. You don't know what they're talking about. What about this right here? Counselor, exhorter. It says, he that exhorteth unto exhortation. This is referring to counsel, like we would call today counseling. This doesn't mean you set up a counseling shop in the church, but this means you can give advice. We need that. The church needs that to function. The church needs men and women who will answer their call to God, and then God says, I'm going to use you as a counselor. You're never going to be a preacher. You're never going to be a teacher. But you're going to cross paths with a whole lot of people in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ who aren't going to know what to do. All right, I think a lot of times over here, I've said to a few people over the years, go talk to Mike O'Mara. Yeah, you got financial problems? I don't know what to tell you. Go see Mike. He can help you get that thing in order. People need counseling in their marriages, in their child rearing. There's all kinds of areas people need counseling nowadays. He that giveth, the next one is a giver. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Now, that doesn't mean some are gifted to give and some aren't. Some say, good, I'm not gifted to give, so I don't have to give anymore. Now, but there are some special people once in a while you cross paths with. And boy, can they give. But they got to surrender themselves to God first. Call to God. And say, God, what can I do? Now here, see, the fear is there. So many people, especially men, think, if I say, okay, God, I've heard your call, here I am, but I can't be a preacher. But there's a whole lot more after that that God needs. God needs givers. God needs givers. And I'll tell you what, I don't feel at liberty right now to mention some names here, but man, have we had some givers in this church. Wow. I've seen people give away brand new cars just by faith, like it's nothing. Oh, God will take care of me. Give away thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. I remember a widow lady laid down $25,000 so we could build that addition there. I said, are you sure? This person had given her life to God? Yeah, this is what God wants me to do. God's taken good care of her ever since then. Blessed her. I've seen men and women with the gift of giving. I've seen little boys and girls give everything they've got to some missionary coming through. I mean, everything, laid it all down. I said, man, you know, I feel like stepping in almost. You can keep a little of that yourself, you know. But man, I don't ever want to stop a kid from giving. He loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Luke 7 and verse 5. You know where that synagogue was? Capernaum. You know where Jesus went to church? Synagogue of Capernaum. Why? Because one philanthropist who had the gift of giving in his day loved Israel. Built him a synagogue. And as a result, everybody else around that area benefited. The next one, and we're almost done, he that ruleth with diligence. This word ruleth is in reference to administration. God's work needs administration. God's work needs to be done decently and in order. And usually the more order there is, the more productive a ministry will be. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not you have you be ignorant. It says, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, and there are differences in administrations, that is ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities in operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Some people need to answer God's call so God can gift you to use your brilliant mind to organize some things. God has given some of you brilliant organizational minds that need to be used in His work. There are some people, they're talented, they're gifted, and charismatic and everything, but you give them a ministry, they'll destroy it. They have no order. They have no organizational skills whatsoever. Some pastors have done that to churches. But man, there's some ministries that I just step back in awe of around this country. And I say, how do they organize that? I'll tell you how they organize it. There's people in that church who've answered their God's call to Himself. And then God has gifted them with the ability to rule, which means to organize or to administrate. And somebody, maybe some of you know a Ray Young. I've heard Ray Young preach before. Brethren, he's not the most exciting preacher I've ever heard. But that guy probably organizes more soul winners and more bus routes than any person on this earth. And he'll organize 200 bus routes and staff them with workers and organize soul winners who will reach thousands of people to Christ. But you talk to him or you hear him preaching, it's kind of like, well, that was okay. I mean, that helped. But see, that man answered God's call on his life. See, the call is to God, and then God gifted him to administrate. And last of all, comforter. We need people who have the gift to comfort, but first they got to surrender to God's call. Lost my place. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. This is talking about the Holy Spirit given gift of comfort. Now somebody, a whole bunch of people, you know, this care ministry in our church shouldn't be dying. It should be growing. If it's dying, it's because either those in it or those who have tried it have never given their life to God. Because the call is to God, and then the gift is to, in this case, comforting or caring. Or maybe the fault is in the preacher and that he hasn't told them your calling and your gifting is as high of a calling, as heavenly of a calling, and as holy as a calling as what mine is. Don't trifle with it. And take that as the most important thing in your life. It's your God's. And we got some people doing a good job in the care ministry. Don't get me wrong. But brethren, I wanted to share this tonight, and I'm just praying that this thing made sense. We're going to just close, but we have got to somehow break this cycle of wrong thinking that the pastor's called to preach, the evangelist is called to preach, the missionary's called, and that's it on the callings. I was never called to preach. As God has given me further insight in this thing, I really was never called to preach. To say it accurately, I was called to God. I was gifted to preach. You're called to God. What are you gifted to? And when you find that out, my message tonight is let that be as high of a calling, as heavenly of a calling, and as holy of a calling to you, boys and girls, you youth. I don't care if it's serving in the kitchen. I want you to say, this is as holy to me as what Pastor Cole does. I've got to do it. And I've got to do my best at it. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for your blessing on our invitation and pray that you'd help us. We've been here a while, but Lord God Almighty, help us, please, dear Lord. So many frustrated little boys and girls in churches, and so many frustrated girls and women. And I just think the calling's from men or something, but Lord, maybe they're called to thee. I know they're called. I know women are called to give their lives to God, to present themselves a living sacrifice. Men are called. Boys are called. Teenagers are called. And when many people here heard your voice, you didn't make a mistake, Lord. But I think the mistake comes in from the lack of teaching, at least in this church, and from me, that the calling's not to be a preacher. The calling's to give my life to God and so he can gift me to be whatever. Lord, help us. And Father, if there's anyone here tonight that's not saved, help them to come to the cross. Be born again. And Lord, if there's any that heard your call years ago, may they surrender to you and seek now the gift, because the gift is given by the Holy Spirit to all to profit therewith. To all, not just preachers, to all. Lord, help us with these calling. This calling and these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's take our